Hi guys, welcome to episode 9 of the Solitary Heathen Witch podcast. In today's episode, I'm going to be going over how the number 3 and the number 9 frequently show up in paganism, Wicca, your witchcraft, or different mythology. So I hope you guys enjoy. This episode took me a little bit longer to record for you guys. Just because everyday life, you know, I'm working a full-time job, full-time mom, still doing the distant learning with my daughter, and it's just also the joys of being a parent and spending long nights in the emergency room with your kid all night. Other than that, everything is going good now, everybody's okay, but I just kind of stepped away from the podcast and the Instagram and everything for a while, so I was kind of absent. I'm trying to get back into it, you know, but there's still just a lot going on. So hope you guys enjoy this episode. You'll start to see numbers a lot in your practice. Some people will notice other numbers more than a different one than you may notice. A lot of people will notice things like, okay, I'm seeing a lot of twos, a lot of pairs. I see two birds always together. Or when I look at the time, I notice it's always like 2:22. Throughout your life, you'll see numbers. And there are a couple numbers, too, that are very common in paganism and all the different mythologies. So the two that I've noticed a lot that I'm going to cover today is the number 3. Not just in North mythology, but also within like Wicca, witchcraft, paganism, and the different mythologies. And then the other number is the number 9. And that one I've noticed is very prominent in Norse mythology. Now, for a lot of us that practice Wicca, there is something called the Wiccan Rite. I probably said that wrong. It's like the rule of three, the threefold law. It has a lot of different names. And this is sometimes described similar to like karma for Wiccans, yet it's a little different. It's not strictly accurate, but both concepts describe the process of cause and effect. And that kind of encourages a person to be a better version of themselves, I would say. So I've seen a longer version of the Wiccan Rite, but I'm more familiar with the shorter one, which is, by the Wiccan law ye must, in perfect love, in perfect trust. 8 words the Wiccan Rite fulfill, and ye harm none, do what ye will. What ye send forth comes back to thee, so ever mind the rule of 3. Follow this with mind and heart, marry ye meet, and marry ye part. And with this, it is believed that whatever you put out in the world, it comes back to you times 3. So, for example, if you are not the best person and you're doing bad things in your life and you're putting out negative energy in the world, that's going to come back to you 3 times. And same with putting good into the world, paying it forward. That will come back to you as well. So that is kind of what this law means. It kind of just, you know, encourages you to put out positivity, to be kind, to pay it forward. You know, it'll hold you accountable that for the negativity that you do, like, it's gonna bite you in the butt, basically. When we get to the number 3 in the different mythologies, you seriously could go on and on. And there's only 3 different groups that I'm going to mention now, and that would be the Celtic, Greek, and Norse. I didn't even dive into all the different ones, and I'm pretty sure the more you do, the more you're going to find. When we look at the Celtic, the earth, sea, and sky are very sacred elements. And there's an Irish goddess named Brigid, and it is believed she is not one entity, but 3 different sisters. And then we move over to Greek, and we have the goddess Hecate, which I used to pronounce Hecate, just on how it looked to me. She is a three-faced goddess and very popular in Wicca, because she is the goddess of witchcraft, basically. And then we look again at the earth, sea, and sky, and it is split up between the three brothers. So for the sky, we have Zeus. For earth and the underworld, we have Hades. And for the sea, we have Poseidon. And there is a story of how these Greek gods, led by Zeus, took over the Titans, which are the generation of gods before them. And when they won, they were basically going to have Zeus take over and be the leader, and he decided to split up between his brothers, and that is how they each got assigned. There are different stories on this, though, so you can always look up and read them for yourselves because I think they're pretty interesting. And then when we get into Norse, we do have again three brothers. You'll hear of them called Odin, Vili, and Ve, but I have seen the names also different, especially in the Poetic Edda when we read Völuspá. It tells the story of how there were tree trunks on the shore, and they call them Odin, Hœnir, and Loth, which you also see as Loder, but those are believed those to be Vili and Ve. And Odin, put breath into the tree trunks. Hœnir gave them souls, and Loth gave them hair and a human face. And this again, here we are with the number three. And then also the Norns are three women. So the more you dig into it, you're going to keep finding different things. Because we also have a lot more with Norse mythology, because of course that's the one I read about more. With Loki, he ties into it because he had three monster children with the giantess. And, this is where we get Hel, Jormungandr, and Fenrir. And those are the three children. Loki has many more children, but these are the three that we see a lot more and hear about a lot more and have a huge role in Ragnarok. Now, when you start to study and look into your path, whether it be pagan, Wicca, or whatever it is, you'll notice a lot of symbols. And some of these symbols may have like numbers tied to them. And one of the most common ones I see is the number three. I'm going to go over a few that I've noticed. I'm not going to dive too deep into the meaning of them. But my suggestion for you is if you have your book of shadows or a notebook or something where you journal everything down, when you start to do your learning and research, write down these symbols and then write the meanings that you find. They're always a good reference to go back to. So the one I see a lot is the triple moon goddess, which we see with like the full moon and the two crescents, and it signifies the mother, maiden, and crone. Here we are again with the number three. We also see the Valknut, which is a Norwegian compound word, meaning not of those fallen in battle. And this symbol is associated a lot with Odin, as well as the triple horn of Odin. I can't pronounce a lot of these names the best. I will try my best. But we have the Trinity Knot, which is also called the Trikietra. I completely butchered that. And this also kind of refers to the mother, maiden, and crone. We have the triple spiral, also as the triskelion. And this one is a Celtic symbol, even though it is derived from a Greek word, triskles. And that's just a couple of them. And as you look into things more, you're going to start noticing, like as you look around, recognizing certain symbols, and these patterns start to appear more to you. The number three also has shown up a lot for me throughout my life. a lot of times, and it's, you know, it is a superstition, but it is something that I've witnessed personally, is normally when we have a death in our family, deaths always come in threes. And that is something I was always told growing up and something that I notice and experience. Another thing is I'm an only child, so is my parents and I, and so is the three of us, and we got a tattoo to symbolize that. It was a matching tattoo that we all got. There's, you know, a lot of other things, like little things you'll notice. You'll notice a pattern with certain numbers. And when I do my rune pulls, I typically do three. Sometimes I just reach in the bag and I pull out what feels right to me. A lot of the times there's always three runes. So this is kind of my go-to. And then, you know, you see three with your past, present, and future. So I feel like I could go on and on about this number. You just notice things more and more, and especially after hearing about it or it being pointed out to you, you kind of will start to pick up on it more, as opposed to it being present and you just not really noticing. I'm going to play a quick ad real quick. After that, we will get into the number 9. If you want, feel free to just skip through the ad, or you can listen to it if you'd like. Ironically, 3 times 3 is 9. So here we are looking into some examples of the number 9 in Norse mythology, since this is a big number. There are a lot of examples, so I'm only going to give some. And I have not learned my pronunciation correctly on a lot of these words, so bear with me. But a lot of the things that most people learn in the beginning is the, you know, like the tree of life, Yggdrasil, where all 9 realms are, or 9 worlds. I can't pronounce all of them, but we have Niflheim, Muspelheim, Asgard, Midgard, Jotunheim, Vanaheim, Alfheim, Svartalheim, and Helheim. So those, again, there's the number 9. And then we have the story of Odin's magical golden ring Draupnir, which was made by 2 dwarves. And his ring drips every 9th night, 8 new rings of equal quality. And so with those 8 new rings, and then counting the original rings, you have 9 rings. And every 9 nights, it produces the 8 more rings. Another example with Odin is he hung himself on the tree of life, Yggdrasil, for 9 days and 9 nights until the secret of the runes was revealed to him. So here we see the number 9 again, and it shows up constantly. You'll see the number 9 and the number 3 a lot within Norse mythology. Heimdall, the guardian of the rainbow bridge Bifrost, he was born of 9 sisters. And then another example we get into is the story of Ragnarok. And when Thor defeats the world serpent, Jormungandr, he takes 9 steps before he falls to the ground and dies after being poisoned by the venom. So that was a lot of examples on its own. And you will find more the more you do your reading. A lot of times you can see these things like in the Poetic Edda, the Prose Edda. So just get different books and just read some of the stories. I've also listened to some of the different stories on like podcasts. A good one that I like is called Mythology, and they do stories of all the different mythologies. So that one I listened to on Spotify, and it's done by Parcast. And they kind of take all the information that they find of these stories from everywhere and put it together and will tell the story. So those are very fun to listen to. That wraps it up on today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'm sorry it took so long to get this out, but hopefully I will have some more things coming for you guys soon. If you stay and listen to the ending, I'm going to give you guys more information on the Facebook group I created. So I hope you guys enjoyed. So I made a Facebook page for the podcast. You guys can find it by looking up Solitary Heathen Witch Podcast. There's also a Facebook group as well. I created the group so that way everybody had a safe place to interact with each other, ask questions, you know, share things. And then also I'm allowing on Mondays how I have like the small business shout outs on Instagram that you can make a post advertising your business. You know, I want everybody in the community to be able to connect and find a safe place. Personally, for me, like my Facebook is mainly for family. I really don't post any of my witchy pagan stuff. So I feel like this group, it is private. The only people who can see if you're in it are members that are already in it. And this way you guys have like a safe place. If you're a beginner, you know, you can ask questions, get a lot of good feedback. And then also, you know, if you've been doing this for a while, you know, we would love for you to share with us experiences, stories, advice. So go ahead, feel free to apply. Again, I just created it, so everything in there is still pretty bare, but I'm hoping to gather some members for it in the meantime. And then the Patreon, I'm still working on. I haven't opened it quite yet because I want something to offer, like, you know, content or things. That way, if you do contribute, I have something to share besides just a blank page right now. You can also support going on the link in the description on the episodes, which you can support the podcast on Anchor. And that is an option. So any other updates I will be sharing in the future, if I do create anything, you know, still going back and forth on thoughts about the YouTube channel. I want to be able to have a lot more ideas and be more ready before I start recording and, putting that out there for you guys. So right now we just have the Instagram and the Facebook, and you can connect on Anchor as well. Again, I will keep you guys updated. Feel free to send me questions, share your small businesses, whatever it is. You